Luke chapter 21 and verses 34 through 36, principally verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May God be pleased to help us understand His Word. Amen. Upon what are you focused in your daily life, principally? Upon what are you focused even at this moment? It seems that it's very difficult for us to get away from the cares of this world and the worries of this life. It really is. And even for a single hour, as we come together for a time of worship, it's difficult for us to set aside those cares and anxieties and worship the Lord and center our attention upon Him. And so the question really becomes very simple. Is our focus principally upon this life and the things of this life, or is our focus principally upon Jesus Christ and the life to come? Now, I'm not saying that we should be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I'm not trying to say that here, because we all have employments in this world that God has called us to, and we all have things to do in this life. But I'm asking the question, what is our principal focus in life itself? Is it the former? Are we very nearsighted? Or is it the latter? Are we so focused upon school, for example, upon graduation, which is imminent, on job-related turmoil, on a particular illness or difficulty that happens to captivate our lives, and the anxiety which is attached to it? Are we so focused on these things that we neglect to look at Jesus Christ and the life to come? The title for the message this morning, Worry Warts Are Nearsighted. I think that's true. And I think this is what our text gives us. Be on guard. Luke 21:34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Christ urges us to focus on the main event. And what is this main event? The main event to which Christ refers in this text is His second coming. Let's read these three verses again. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. All on the face of the earth are going to experience the second coming of Jesus Christ, and all will stand before the Son of Man. Christ will come a second time in glory. He came a first time 2,000 years ago to bring salvation. As John 3:16 so beautifully and poignantly puts it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ came a first time to bring about a great salvation. He comes a second time not for salvation, but to be the judge of the earth. We just read in Matthew 25:31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What glorious words! What a magnificent expectation we have, those of us who trust in Jesus Christ. And of course, there is that other side of the coin given in verse 30 or verse 41 of Matthew 25. Then He will also say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Christ will separate the sheep from the goats. And it's quite a thing for us to contemplate, because the lives we have in this world pale in insignificance compared to either eternity in eternal bliss in heaven with God, or eternal perdition, eternal burnings, separated from the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And so the most significant event, or the most significant thing in life, has to be, folks, our assurance regarding the eternal disposition of our souls. The most significant thing in each of our lives has to be this. And only God can give us this assurance. Only God can work in our hearts by the Spirit to give the assurance needed. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, Jesus has some significant words. I'll read verses 23 and 24. The disciples asked this question, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" Then He said to them, "Strive to enter the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able." You see, Jesus Christ is saying to you and to me and to others who are not here present this morning, Jesus Christ is saying, it's not an insignificant thing, your status eternally before the living God. Because a day will come when you will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That day will come inevitably. And so Jesus Christ says, agonize over this whole proposition. Do not take it lightly. In our day and age, we take church very lightly. We take Christianity so lightly. Individuals in this world have this idea that it's a take-it-or-leave-it matter. And we even have in evangelical circles today an inclusivism which says that it really doesn't matter whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ. There are other ways to heaven. Professors who who belong to so-called evangelical churches are teaching young people this. Jesus says otherwise. Strive, agonize to enter the narrow gate, he says. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And so Jesus is saying, take this seriously. As we look back then at Luke chapter 21, the fact that Jesus calls us to some seriousness regarding this matter is given in verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Christ reminds us that we can easily be distracted. Our focus can be easily taken off the big picture and the things of God and the power of God and the coming of Christ. And we are easily distracted and shaken. I'm very interested in this because of the way Jesus puts it together. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down. And he gives us three things that may distract us. The first is dissipation. The first major distraction is dissipation. And as soon as I read this almost, I thought of the prodigal son that Jesus speaks of in Luke 13. And if you want to turn back in your Bibles to Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. Here has got to be a great example of what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of dissipation and loose living. And he said, that is Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Here's a guy that said, Dad, give me my portion of the estate. And so his father, being a generous man, divided the estate immediately between the sons. And this son takes everything out and he goes to a far country and he wastes it all on loose living. Who knows what this young man did? He goes out and squanders it on riotous living. Jesus goes on and says, Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need, and he went and attached himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. He attached himself to a particular fellow in that city, in that faraway country, and wound up in a hog pen feeding swine. Dissipation, loose living, has its consequences. And Jesus is telling us this. It's amazing to me that our culture today majors in dissipation, in loose living, in riotous living, in squanderous living, in profligate living, in reckless living. The famous rock stars of today urge us in this direction. The entertainment of today, the filmmakers, urge us in this direction. The television commercials of this day urge us in this direction. Dissipation. And, you know, it's not that all movies are bad and all videos are bad, and it's not that television is innately bad, and it's not that computers and the internet is innately bad. You can get on your computer and go all over the world today and discover amazing things on these networks, computer networks. And it's fabulous. But there are also perverts and pornographers who are purveyors of all sorts of filth and ugliness who are on the internet. And they're doing their work there also. The whole objective of all of this is very simple, folks. To distract us from the things of God. To distract us from the things of God. I think we have to understand that that's the case. Drunkenness. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness. Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross, would not take to His lips wine mixed with gall, a bitter herb. He would not do this. This was a medication intended to lessen and ease the pain of the crucifixion. Jesus Christ would not take to His lips this wine and bitter herbs mixed together. He would not do this because He would not enter into this crucifixion with His senses in any way dulled to what was about to take place. One of the commentators says this: Jesus refused the drug after tasting it because it was as a fully conscious victim that He desired to make His supreme sacrifice. He offered Himself completely and with His faculties unimpaired. That was the position of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is absolutely amazing. Alcohol, it is well known, hampers our reflexes and dulls our senses. And people are doing different things and mixing different things with alcohol so that there is greater effect. This is very interesting. But what happens in this mix? We are unable to properly seek after God. That's the bottom line. We are distracted from a major focus on seeking after God. I want you to see something here now in verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. That word translated worries in the New American Standard Version is the word anxiety or anxieties that we have been dealing with in this particular series. And I want you to see something about the way Jesus puts it before us. There is one prepositional phrase here. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. It does not say, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and with drunkenness and with the worries of life. They are more intimately hooked together. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and anxieties. They are intimately hooked together in one phrase by Jesus Christ, by the Lord of glory. And what this means, folks, is that Jesus Christ sees each of these on equal plane, having equal importance. In our church today, in our denomination, we are going through the throes of voting on a change in an ordination vows for officers. I've been asked about this because it's been in the bulletin off and on. Ordination vow number 8, which requires of the officers of the church a position of total abstinence from the use of alcoholic beverages. And there is agitation within our church to change this vow so that total abstinence is no longer required in the form of this vow at any rate. Now, let me ask you a question. You agree with me, do you not, that drunkenness is an abominable sin? Do you not? And you agree, do you not, that dissolute living and drunkenness are abhorrent? And individuals who engage in easily spending all that they have on expensive clothes and big cars and all of this sort of thing to the detriment of their families and to the detriment of the future, and they drink a lot and drink heavily, engage in a way of life which is absolutely abhorrent to God. You'd agree with me on that, wouldn't you? Do you agree that anxiety is just as bad? Do you agree with me that anxiety is just as abhorrent to God as drunkenness? Have you ever thought of it in that way? Have you ever thought of the fact that when we are anxious individuals, we are engaging in an activity which is just as abhorrent to God as drunkenness? I'll bet you never thought of it that way before. Are you as eager to maintain ordination vow 8 and to maintain a life free of anxiety? Do you have equal eagerness in both of these areas? Be on your guard, Jesus says. You see, this is very interesting to me that this should be the case. Anxiety is never put in that category. Jesus is putting it in that category. And the reasons, well, let me back up here, because Jesus talks about the anxieties of life. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. The worries of life are all the things that we have been talking about in these past weeks. And when we concentrate on the worries of this life, folks, when we concentrate on the worries of this life, our vision is right here, about 6 inches in front of our faces, and it gets no further than that because we're worried about what we're going to wear, what's going to happen tomorrow, what we're going to eat. And we're consumed with these kinds of things. We're consumed with the welfare of our bodies. As I have said before, from this very pulpit, we will do almost anything for the cure of our bodies. We will hardly walk across the street for the cure of our souls. We are nearsighted people. The anxieties of this life bring our vision close in. And worry warts are nearsighted. And Jesus alerts us to this fact. Let's read our text again. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with the dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties bring our vision in to such an extent that we lose our focus on the greatness and the glory and the power of Almighty God. And what we need more than anything else is to have a vision for the greatness of God. Well, Christ alerts us to these distractions so we might not be weighted down and miss the main event. What does it mean to be weighted down? I found this kind of interesting. How many of you have been driving down the road and your eyelids have been very, very heavy? Have you ever been in that circumstance? I remember several years ago when I was driving down the road and I suddenly heard from the back seat, Dad, where are you going? And I was headed for the middle of a wheat field, literally. And it was one of those circumstances where I couldn't keep my eyes open. They were weighted down. They were heavy. That's the same word. Our fragile bodies weigh us down. Some of us more than others. Those who are going through difficulties with vision understand this. Those who are going through difficulties with various physical maladies understand this more than others. Our fragile bodies were weighed down by these kinds of things. The troubles and anxieties of life that come upon us weigh us down. And Jesus says that our hearts are weighed down. And I think there's a kind of an interesting sequence of events that comes about as Jesus lays this before us. He says, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down. What is the heart? The human heart is composed of three main things. One, the mind. Two, the emotions. And three, the will. The mind, the emotions, and the will biblically make up the human heart. And what happens to us? Our minds literally get in a turmoil. Isn't this the case? I've been there. We're in a turmoil. What are we going to do? There's six alternatives here. Which direction am I going to do? It gets frustrating. And our minds conjure up all sorts of things. Our minds get in a turmoil. What will we eat? What will we wear? What's the future going to hold? What are we going to do? The mind stirred in this fashion. And when this happens, the emotions are torn in different directions. The emotions become frayed. Panic can set in. We've talked about this sort of thing. Panic can set in. Anger can set in. The focus is close at hand. We're anxious. We worry. And worry warts are nearsighted. And when this happens, the will becomes paralyzed. We don't know what we're going to do, and we can't do anything when we're in this state. In a state of literal paralysis because of the anxiety. Jesus says, watch out. He says, watch it. Watch it. He says, watch out and do not let anxiety make you short-sighted. The problem is that this anxiety in and of itself distracts us from Jesus Christ. And the problem is just that, folks. You see, what we have to do is fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what we have to do. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what we have to do. We have to set our minds on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. You know, it's amazing how many texts of Scripture point us in that direction. That's what we have to do. That's what you need to do right now and what I need to do right now. Yesterday morning, I got up early and I flipped on the television. I was going to check the weather. And when the TV came on, it was on CNN. And the correspondent on CNN was interviewing a retired Army colonel who had been a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And so I watched that for a little while. This fellow had been, I wish I could remember his name, but I don't. This fellow had been a prisoner of war in Vietnam. He was in a helicopter that was shot down, and he had been a prisoner of war for something like 54 or 58 months. And he was in a little room that measured 6 feet by 7 feet, and in that room there was a cot and a toilet bucket. That's all that was there. And he said he brought a couple of things to show. One of the things he brought was a set of sandals that he wore while he was in that cell for these many months. It was a set of sandals that were made out of tires, rubber tires that he wore. And the second thing that he showed was this, a communion set that he made out of things like toothpaste tubes and the tops out of the caps of toothpaste tubes and things like that that he had access to, a communion set. And for those many months while he was in captivity, on the first Lord's Day of every month, he celebrated the sacrament of Holy Communion in that prison cell. I was blown away by that. And I thought to myself, what focus, what incredible focus. And he said, after these many years, he and his daughter went back to Vietnam, North Vietnam. He's in the process of making a documentary about the POWs, etc. He went back to Vietnam with a group of men, and he and his daughter went back to that very spot where he had been held prisoner. And guess what they did? They had communion together. What are we to do? We are to be on guard, friends, that dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life do not distract us from the primary focus we should have in life, and that is Jesus Christ, who is on the throne. Jesus is telling us this. And when our focus is proper, Jesus is not saying that situations will not arise which may occasion anxiety. But I'll tell you what, our approach to those situations will be entirely different if our focus is on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your words. Help me, O God, and help each one of us to properly focus our lives on you and not be distracted so easily. Help us to keep in mind this injunction which Jesus gives us, that we might understand it better, and that we might put it into practice. And I pray, Father, that as a result, we will be better equipped to handle the anxieties of this life. Bless us to that end. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.